I am disheartened to learn that the place where I will be staying is a bed and breakfast, not a hotel. My heart sinks. That means there is probably neither television nor phone in my room, and I have very little patience for what is generally labeled charming, in particular, country charm. I have an intense dislike of flowered wallpaper, ditto jam of all sorts. The former is in all too abundant evidence when I enter the inn, and the latter, I'm sure, lies in ominous wait somewhere in the cheery kitchen. There is a knotty pine bar off the entrance hall with a settee with several embroidered pillows. I'd rather be golfing. On the eighth day, God created golf. Golfers have sex in some humorous golf-related manner, etc. On the windowsill above, a ginger cat is bothering a stained glass butterfly ornament as the sunlight streams through the leaded panes. It is all I can do not to cry. The proprietress is the kind of tall, stalwart woman of a certain age that used to be called handsome. She is approximately 9 feet tall. Her jaw is a feat of architecture, her eyes blue, resolute, her faithful dog, Blue, at her side. She smiles at me warmly and introduces herself as Hannah, extending a hand the size of a frying pan. "You must be Dave," she says. In New England, everyone calls you Dave, regardless of however many times you might introduce yourself as David. I'm reminded of those fanatically religious homophobes who stand on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral during Gay Pride in New York, holding signs that say, "Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." I have always wanted to go up to them and say, "Well, of course not Adam and Steve. Never Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Stephen." "You're in room 3, she continues. "Why don't you go into the dining room and have some lunch, and then we'll talk some. Come on, old blue dog." In spite of myself, I am charmed. She puts on a dark green slicker and knee-high Wellingtons and is out the door, presumably to chop the ice off the pond, deliver a calf, or raise a barn. I eat a club sandwich and drink some coffee to try to eradicate my Xanax buzz. I'm trying to appear legitimate, masculine, adult, like I deserve to be there. Somehow it comes up that the waitress is going to Kathmandu for the Peace Corps the following spring. "Nepal? Golly," I hear myself say. "Who says golly?" I think to myself. I'll tell you who. Katharine Hepburn in The Philadelphia Story, and aging chorus boys in bellhop uniforms walking through hotel lobbies with huge boxes of flowers. Larry Davis stops by the inn. I introduce myself and shake his hand in a hearty, "Hail fellow, well-met" manner. In return, he gives me dispensation to climb the next day in my $20 plastic Payless shoes. I realize I have done almost no research for this trip, so I walk into downtown Jaffrey to check things out. This seems to me to smack of journalistic realness, a kind of topography as destiny new journalism Joan Didion opening, perhaps. Perhaps I should do the WPA thing, go among the folks and observe their authentic and simple ways. Or maybe I'll try on a William Holden Gregory Peck Paladin of the First Amendment type, all about the people's right to know, cracking open the festering lies of the town, controlled as it is by the despotic factory owner with the beautiful, virtuous daughter. Things were fine in this town before that writer showed up. I am, as always, overwhelmed with movie fantasies. I think of that old standby, the star build-up, where the camera wends its way through a crowded ballroom as the collectively murmured, "Where is the Contessa?" plays on the lips of all assembled. Finally, the camera stops on a woman facing the other way, her creamy nape and lush hair. "Contessa," someone says. She turns around. "It's her! Her first close-up!" "Yes," she answers, unmindful of her own compelling presence. Or the boy version, where our hero walks into town and the whispered buzz of intrigue thrills through the passers-by. Lace curtains are discreetly pulled away from windows, and everyone wonders, who is the stranger? But it is Christmas Eve day as I walk into Jaffrey, and there is no one around to question my presence in their midst. I pass by All in Good Taste Gifts, Roy's Bike Shop, and the Jaffrey Bible House that sells Christian gifts and, perplexingly, supplies. The town is boarded up and deserted. I turn around and start to walk the 2 miles back to the inn. Jaffrey is astonishingly pretty, particularly in the dusky magic hour.